I've been thinking recently about choices. It's been said that the door of history turns on small hinges, and so do people's lives. The choices we make determine our destiny.
Carpe diem. Seize the day, boys. Make your lives extraordinary.
My brothers of the sword, let no man forget how menacing we are. We are lions.
What is most important is that you have to dig deep down and ask yourselves, who do you want to be? Not what, but who.
Make a choice, right? You just decide what it's going to be, who you're going to be, how you're going to do it. Just decide.
When we face such temptations in our time, we must declare, as young Nephi did in his, I will give place no more for the enemy of my soul.
I have wrestled with an alligator. I done tussled with a whale. I done handcuffed lightning, throw thunder in
jail. You're very best. Keep moving, Brock. That's it. That's it. That's it. Keep going. Don't quit on me. Keep going.
We're in hell right now. I believe you. And you can stay here, get the kick out of us, or we can fight our way back.
And then we interfere like who? All day like who? All night like who?
I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now, go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!
5 seconds left in the game! Do you believe in miracles? Yes!
Don't you quit. You keep walking. You keep trying. There is help and happiness ahead. A lot of it.
We ready. We ready.
Get it. What?
We ready. For who?
For y'all. This is the Eternal Warrior Podcast. Sharing stories from the battlefront in the war. Oh, wait, no. Whoa, I jumped the gun.
In the war?
This is the Eternal Warrior Podcast.
Yeah. Well,
helping young people in their quest for self-mastery.
There it is. Woo.
Sharing stories from the battlefront in the war against Satan and pornography. Gosh, boom. I'm sorry.
Boom. No, yeah.
I'm out of practice.
No, would you please apologize to those three.
Are you
going to
bench me again?
Yeah. You are no longer the intro man.
I used to be the hype man.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
I have so little. That was my one thing I was holding on to. But guys welcome to the podcast.
Yes, welcome back. Oh, what a good week it is.
It is.
This is going to be a good sode.
It's the sode will be great. A lot has kind of been on our minds this past week as we've been preparing for this episode. And while we've been, Spence and I, should we just talk about it right now?
Yeah, let's talk about
it. Okay. Let's talk about it.
Okay, before we introduce our guest and just really dive in here, you're talking about like what I've been feeling this last week.
Let's talk stats, baby.
Yeah.
Or what you've been feeling.
Yes.
Wait. The three things you've been feeling?
Yeah.
You want to do that now?
Or are you talking about something different?
I was talking about stats.
Oh, let's talk stats.
Let's talk stats.
Sorry, we were on the wrong page.
The three things.
We can do another,
let's
another
do,
separate
yeah,
show.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, so stats, you guys. We have a little website that we use to launch these episodes to different platforms like Apple Podcasts and Spotify and all that good stuff. And it gives us a pretty good idea. It's not the best. It's like a pretty cheap little ditty.
We get analytics and data from them on like how you guys are consuming the content that we're creating.
Exactly. Yeah. And I don't know what happened.
We crossed a pretty special milestone this week.
We did.
When we released the episode with Seth, we crossed
10,000 total 10,000 downloads. Which doesn't even count like listens, right? So that's just like people downloading onto their devices. So there could be...
So can we ask a special favor of you guys that when you do listen to the podcast, go ahead and download it to help us get a more accurate understanding of our, I guess, our community.
Yep.
So go and make sure you download it. Like, if you want to just stream it, that's fine, but download it. And then if you need to erase it later, like, we won't be offended. Like, that's fine. We just understand. Like,
undownload it.
Like, phone space is a real thing.
It is.
You need stuff for your kids' pictures and your nieces and nephews.
Applications for, you know.
Yeah, applications for
face changing. You know, to like see what I look like when I'm old.
I was thinking like an application for like a job. Oh. But that just, man, I'm old.
I would say, sorry, you sort of said apps.
Well, then I would have thought appetizers. Because fat.
Because food.
So 10,000 downloads.
Isn't that cool?
Big deal. Like,
it's a big deal because we haven't done much like as far as marketing or advertising.
No.
This is organic.
It's all you guys.
It's from talking to other people. So we are just so grateful. We are humbled to be part of this, right? Like it's really neat. We're just very, very floored that it's picking up momentum. And then last week the previous high.
Yeah.
Was 180 downloads in one day.
And that we usually hit that peak for the week is on the day that we release a new episode.
Right.
Because it hits your guys' new stream and everything like that.
Yep.
But yeah, tell them what happened this past week.
This past week, I don't know if it was just Seth or if people were just very against porn last week. But
it was in the air. Some was in the water.
Anti-porn week. But yeah, we hit 340 downloads in one day. It like almost doubled.
Yeah.
So I don't know. We don't know exactly why that happened, but
Spence and I, we're not even cheating. We're not like going in and downloading this stuff to make ourselves feel better. Maybe our moms are, right?
Maybe our moms
are. I don't think.
No.
Bless their hearts. I don't know if my mom, maybe your mom would.
No.
I don't know if Lori would know how to download this.
No, you
know?
My mom does not.
Yeah.
She didn't know how to access it in the first place. Right. So, yeah. But.
Technology gaps.
Yeah. So we just wanted to start off with that, though, to tell you guys what's happening. It's
the train's moving, baby.
The train is moving, and it is, since season one, just from our very beginning, it has been on a trend line up. Consistently over that time. And so that means more people, that means more listens, that means those that are starting to listen to all the episodes. Like, we're just very, very grateful for your support and keep it up. Wes, did you want to fill them in on some of the...
Yeah, so last week was so special, man.
It was
like,
cool.
I know we say this every time, but nothing gives Spence and I more juice to keep doing this and to keep you guys involved than when we hear from you. And we understand the good that you guys are doing for your communities and how you are taking up the banner and putting on your armor and being a warrior. And we got an incredible, incredible email from a sweet, sweet gal who's in school. And she said, you know, she shared the podcast with a really good guy friend of hers that's been struggling and with her dad, who also has had his own issues. And she said, she just says, you know, the Spirit is kind of prompted me that maybe this is a career I need to pursue in sexual addiction therapy. And I mean, I don't think we can take any credit for that, but the fact that you were willing to share that decision with us and that you want to explore that. Thank you for helping us, you know, feel good. And another one too, we've had this one listener write in and to us a couple times, and he's a good friend of ours. And, he's got a couple sons. He's got one son that just enrolled in Sons of Helaman at the beginning of the year, or the beginning of the summer, rather. And then another son who graduated and is now on a mission. And his missionary son always tells his companions about what he went through. And it's just been really cool for his dad to be able to see how many of his companions he's been able to help who have had the same problem or maybe even have struggled as a missionary and have been able to help. And the way that his son, his high school age son, is just being a stud. Oh, we had someone write in and tell us about the mailbox video from... Yes.
So if you guys want...
From Cam's episode.
So if you actually want to watch the video that we were referring to, that Cam was referring to, and we referred to last week as well with Seth.
Yeah, so it's actually on the Gospel Library, or the church website. It's called Spiritual Whirlwinds. So if you want to see what we were tanks flying and a mailbox flying, it's Spiritual Whirlwinds.
I know, I still haven't watched it yet. I want to.
It's pretty wild, man. Cam did it pretty good justice, but yeah.
Yeah, and I think just quickly to echo what Wes said, is hearing from you guys, just like, it validates the movement. It validates that people are not just listening to the podcast, but we're actively going out and doing something about it, right? For that one sister that's now, you know, going to go and potentially study this and find ways to help people that are hurting, that's what it is. You know what I'm saying, though?
Yeah.
Like, it fires me up.
It's so fun.
We're building an army. It's like we're building an army.
A lot of you, when you do write in, you want to ask, how can I help? How can I get involved?
Yeah.
Whether or not we invite you to be a guest on the show or not really kind of depends on some of the things that we have planned. So, you know, like, keep listening and stuff. You know, we want to get everybody on, but we can't get everybody on. You know what you can do, though, if you really want to help make a difference? The best thing you can probably do is leave us a review.
Yeah.
The more reviews that we get, the more that this actually proliferates and gets to the high of to the top of people's, I guess, search bars and stuff. So
yep.
Go on to wherever you download this or listen to it and click on the most right star.
Yes.
Feed us a little bit of review. You can say whatever you want in the review. You can tell us how bad we are, whatever. But just make sure you click the most right star. Yeah. That's what we want.
These two dudes are idiots. They're dumb. They do porn sometimes.
Yeah.
In the past.
In the past.
Not anymore. Yeah. But, you know, so you can say that, whatever.
Yeah, I think that was my brother that said that one or whatever. But cool. But yeah, like, so wrap it up.
Yep.
Podcast is doing awesome.
Yep.
Seriously, we crossed a huge milestone. We're seeing great momentum, and it's because of you guys. We want to keep that rolling. Write into us, podcast@lifechangingservices.org. We'll give you a shout out. We're grateful for everything you guys do. And three, if you really want to help make a difference, leave us a review. Wherever you listen to your podcasts, click on the most right fifth star and tell us what you're getting out of it.
Yeah. Should we listen to a message from Cody Haas?
I think now would be the opportune time.
If you're listening to the Eternal Warrior podcast, it's likely you're listening for you or someone you love. My name is Cody Haas, and I'm a licensed therapist who helps those dealing with sexual addiction, betrayal trauma, trauma in general, marital recovery, and mental illness. Over the years, I've gathered resources to help those who desperately want to get on the right track. If you feel you are in need, please reach out to me by calling 385-519-6089. Again, 385-519-6089. 519-6089 to set up an initial assessment. God bless you on your journey, my friend, and keep listening to Wes and Spenny. And remember, there's no starting or stopping in recovery. Just keep going and doing.
Today's guest is a man that needs no introduction, but will receive one.
He will.
This warrior has been an inspiration to both Spence and I for a good many months now. His strength is off the charts.
It is.
Both physical and spiritual.
I see, yes.
And to see the man that our good friend Caleb has really grown into has been awesome. And he's got a very unique story that he's going to share with us today. And Caleb, welcome. Happy to have you.
Welcome to the show.
It's awesome to be here.
Dude! Yeah, Caleb was...
It's a long time coming, right?
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah. We've wanted Caleb on the show for a long time. And
I've been wanting to be here for a long time, too.
Dude, it's so cool to have you here. Because we were in the same Wednesday night group for probably like a full year, I would say. Or maybe not that long. Quite. 6 months?
Yeah.
I've only been in the program for a year, so...
Oh, okay. So maybe it was like... When you started, did you come to Wednesday nights? Was that
No. I started going to Cody's, just another group from Cody's. I started... 3 months in the program to come to you guys.
Okay.
So I was probably in for 6 months, 7 months.
And just to like Oh, dude, you are... this guy, you guys. We're very grateful you're here. Let's just say that. Because you're just...
To give you guys an idea of how dedicated Caleb is to his own recovery and to the program and to helping his brothers in this fight, Caleb lives far away. He lives in Box Elder County and drives down to Farmington every week for a group. Yeah. And gas ain't free.
Yeah, how long is that drive? That's like a...
45 minutes, 50 minutes.
Holy crap.
One way, right?
Yeah, one way.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you're driving an hour and a half every week.
Yep.
And would you say that investment in group and, you know, driving all that time has, like, given you a return on your life?
It's like my... I like it just because it's a good time to prepare for group, and then once I'm driving back, it's all just, I can take it all in, think about what I'm doing and how I'm going to prepare for that week. I really love it.
That's awesome.
So sick. Which group do you go to now?
There's actually a Brigham City group that started.
What?
Just last week, very first week ever.
What?
Yep.
Get out. That's awesome.
Yep, so Markham.
All you Brigham City peeps.
Who's the therapist that's leading that one?
Markham.
Markham. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I think we just got a group started in Tooele.
Oh, really?
Tooele County, I believe, is what I heard on... I was at Lane's group on Wednesday.
Cool.
That's what they said. You guys, if you're listening and you're in a corner of the globe that is maybe underserved or not quite have the momentum that, or at least the physical immediate community that you need, just wait. You know, get involved digitally as much as you can.
Yep.
But there may or may not be a Sons of Helaman coming to a city near you.
Yeah, there are many online groups, though, so check that out.
Same thing for Brigham Group. We've got 3 people right now, including me, so we need as many people as we can get there. So.
Yes, come to Brigham City.
Yep.
All those south, just travel to Brigham City. It's going to be awesome.
Let's send a promo group up to Brigham City.
No, but Caleb, dude, okay. So I think one thing... Tell the people about your history with wrestling. I thought that was like the coolest thing about Caleb.
This is
just like how you'd never wrestled, right? I need to not tell. Okay, you tell.
Okay. So, so this last year was my very first year ever wrestling. It was my sophomore year at Box Elder High School. I had no intentions of wrestling before that, but I always kind of had this drive and passion that I just a little bit wanted to. And I was just like, why don't I? But I was like, nah, too late. So when I started coming to Cody, the very first in my intake interview with Cody, he was like, I think you seem like a wrestler. You should wrestle. And I was like, no, it's too late. I started going to his groups. And it's actually weird to think about, but Satan's in every part of our lives. And I didn't realize that's Satan, like with how he was telling me and the feelings I was getting, it was him telling me, you can't wrestle. You're not, there's no way you could because you just can't. Too late.
It's too
you
late.
Gave up your chance.
Whoa, okay. Before you continue that story, isn't that crazy? That's a great point. Satan does. He puts fear and doubt into our brains so that we don't maximize our life, our potential.
Right, and just as Satan puts fear and doubt into our minds, Heavenly Father puts influences, inspiration, and the people. Right people in our lives to show us the way. If you guys don't know, Cody Hawes, friend of the show, is a very accomplished wrestler.
Yeah.
And his son is actually tearing it up, too, in kind of a junior wrestling league and things like that, and wrestled for Team Utah earlier. I mean, really cool. We're proud of Cody's little boy. Little boy, he's bigger than me.
He's
now a monster. But I think that's absolutely insane how God orchestrates the universe and that he puts people and leaves everything up to us, right?
Yeah.
Everything's on us. In my ward, I pointed Spence, but Spence wasn't at our ward today.
I wasn't there today. I went to a different ward.
It's okay. We sang hymn 239, Know This, That Every Soul Is Free. And the first, and this is crazy, I had this mission companion that this was his favorite hymn for some reason, because it's kind of a weird,
like one
forgotten
off.
Hymn.
Yeah.
But the first verse goes, know this, that every soul is free to choose his life and what he'll be. To this eternal truth was given that God will force no man to heaven.
And so our Heavenly Father gives us opportunity after opportunity after opportunity to draw near unto Him, to fulfill our mortal missions. But He's never going to make us do anything.
Right.
And that's so, up to us.
Yeah, exactly. And so I think that's so sick, okay. Caleb, that so now, you took the step, right?
Now tell about your wrestling experience in your sophomore or year.
Prowess.
So, yeah, I started wrestling, and I just loved it. Every set, if I wanted to be in the wrestling room if I was anywhere but there. And so started getting really close with wrestlers and stuff, just loving it. And I ended up taking fourth place at divisionals this last year. What? And I didn't do very good at state. I feel like I could have.
But you qualified for state.
Oh, just insane. Dude, Caleb.
Your first, what?
People don't do that. Like, you don't just, like, go to state your first year ever of wrestling. Like, that doesn't just happen.
You're like, do you know who Antonio Gates is?
Mm-mm.
He's a tight end for the Chargers.
Okay? Oh, yeah. He has
Antonio
a story.
Gates never played college football.
He was a
college basketball player.
He was a beast.
It took him in the NFL, and he tore it up.
Yeah, man. Super good.
So
there are those few. Those Antonio Gates and Caleb.
And Caleb.
Those are the two. Yeah.
Dude, I'm glad I'm on the same level as him.
You ever heard of Michael Jordan?
Oh, yeah.
Baseball. Terrible example.
Terrible example. No, but seriously, that was one of my favorite things, was just seeing your development, even in that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but that being said, is there anything else that you'd add to just your personal story that you want people to know, know about you? You golf, right? Like
you're
junior in high school.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else? I'm trying to think if there was anything else about Caleb that we wanted to know.
You're a woodworker too, aren't you?
Oh yeah. Love woodworking.
Yeah. You made this little box that you brought in. Did you give that to Cody?
Yeah. I made some pencils for Lane, and a little wood turned walnut and maple box for Cody.
Yeah.
So cool, dude.
Good looking box.
So maybe before you tell your story, how have these, like, maybe what would appear as to be hobbies, how have you been able to outlet, you know, this...
Passion.
Yeah, like your passion.
Passion projects.
Passion projects. Like, talk about that.
Well, it just creates a thing that I can replace such a terrible thing with. Like, I don't want to say replace, but rather just cast out that terrible thing, and then all I want to do is do good, and then with whatever I'm doing, I will do good. In wrestling, I love serving while I wrestle. That might sound like so dumb to some people, but you can serve wherever you're at. And I've tried to make it so that I'm serving while I'm wrestling, golfing, woodworking, going to dinner with my family, whatever it is.
Tell me more about that.
That's so cool.
Yeah. Describe how you serve while you're wrestling.
Well,
like you help someone to the ground, right?
Yeah, I just encourage them.
You serve them
encourage
into submission.
Shoulder blades
there
on
you
the ground.
Go. Exactly.
Yeah.
Hey, could you just stay there for three just seconds, please?
A little longer.
Good job,
Nelson.
Dude.
There we go.
Yeah.
Great job.
Tell me about that though.
Before I didn't start doing this, but it's really when I started taking off in wrestling that I just said an earnest, heartfelt prayer before every single wrestling match. Not just like a little 2-second one of please help me not get hurt, please help me to have fun, like what you'd expect, but a heartfelt prayer. And in every single prayer, I always prayed that I could have good sportsmanship so that I could have a brotherly love for the other person that I'm wrestling with. And every single person I've wrestled with since, I know them by name, and I love just going and talking to them, being like, hey dude, hey Austin, hey Stockton, whoever it is, and then I can be their friend and just minister to them.
Oh my gosh, dude. That is so... Okay, all you people out there, you now understand how amazing this Caleb is.
Just goals, right?
Seriously, that is so... Okay.
Life goals in front of me.
Now take that, and what Caleb just said is if we can interweave all of our manpower into our passion projects. Like, did you hear that? Did you hear how he like interweaves?
Everything's connected, right?
Everything's very interconnected. How that builds such a web of like strength that there's no way that you're losing, right? Like you build this like...
The web is impenetrable.
They're not separate things.
Yes, they're not separate things. No. You combine them. I'm going to get my M goal. I'm gonna pray every time I... You know what I mean? It's like I'm building this into what I...
And then
my passion projects.
Like... A huge perk to it. I wrestle 20,000 times better every time I do that too.
Yeah. Yes.
So
don't you, oh man. the consecration. I'm just so fired up right now.
I love when Spence's mind gets blown.
It's just so fun to watch. Oh, I wish. I'm really glad that you guys can't see this. I just get so excited, dude. When this is like...
I love it so much.
It's just because, dude, you're so dope. Caleb, you're so dope. Okay.
So, real quick, and then we'll talk about porn.
Yes.
I promise. It's what you guys are here for. Jesus says in John, now this is life eternal, to know God the eternal Father and Jesus Christ whom he has sent, I think. Let me double check that. Well, I'll have to check it. But anyway, while I'm checking that, Caleb, I feel like a lot of what you're doing is an eternal life. A lot of times we kind of, and I know I've said this before, but we box eternal life as the afterlife. But there's nowhere in Scripture where it says eternal life only happens when you die. And I appreciate the way that you've chosen to live your life because it gives so much just context and understanding to everything. It's John 17:3. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. I feel like that's kind of what you're doing.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, dude.
So keep on that means living an eternal life.
That means a lot more than you can know. So thanks.
Yeah, no, it's interesting. You would never think that your example shows me that there are opportunities to serve and to know what it's like to serve like Jesus Christ. In every moment, yeah. There's always opportunity to minister, like you said. It's so cool. Okay, let's...
Shift gears.
Yes. Gears has been shifted.
Thanks, Jimmy, for the sounds.
Jimmy's our sound tech. Say hello, Jimmy. Yeah.
Hey there, guys. I do the sounds. I'm Jimmy.
All right, let's talk about porn.
Let's talk about porn. What's I don't even know. I know your story. I don't know where.
I don't think I've ever.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Walk us through like your experience with pornography, your first exposure, what all went down.
I can do that.
Yeah.
It's pretty vivid in my memory.
Yep. Yeah.
Well, I can remember like my very, very first exposure of, I was 5 years old though, like, mm-hmm. and all it was like a not good swimming suit and a very bad swimsuit. And I just saw it and I was like five on a little thumbnail on YouTube. And I just remember feeling like I was the worst human alive. But skip forward 8 years from that, I started to have actual battles. And that's when I was 13 years old, seventh grade. It all just stemmed from curiosity.
Yep.
Instagram had been out for a few years, but I had just gotten it. And like, you can kind of just explore in there. Like mm-hmm. I had a lot of freedom just to like explore. And then I thought that's how I would figure it out. I didn't versus where I should go ask my parents, but like, cause Satan really tries to make that sound terrible. Like, can't ask your dad how that crap works.
About sex. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I thought I didn't know anything.
Yes.
But I knew as much as I needed.
Yes.
And then, so from curiosity, I started exploring some things, just getting closer and closer until eventually it got to like full nudity.
Yeah.
And it had only been full nudity. I'd seen it maybe two or three times and it had been going on for about 4 months when I talked to my dad. And I was like, Dad, I really need your help right now. And I thought he was going to be so disappointed and be like, yeah, you're not my son anymore. But he was so loving. And I love my dad so much for that. And so
dude, that's so cool. You must have a pretty good relationship with your dad.
Oh,
if
yeah.
you felt like that comfortable. Because was that when you were about that age?
I went to my mom.
Yeah, me too.
I feel like I have a good relationship with my dad, but like, I still to now I'd be like,
I'm going to talk to mom.
Yeah, I'm going
to
talk to mom.
And it really? It just depends on the situation, for me, which is
just,
cool.
Yeah, my dad was just was who that, I need to talk to.
Was that when you were 13? Or
yeah, so I was still 13.
Still 13, okay. Yeah.
So then I talked to the bishop the next week, and I went 7-8 months, not a problem. Because at that point, it was just habit. It wasn't addiction at that point. It had just gotten to be habit. So I went 7-8 months again, until I got Snapchat, and it just started snowballing slowly, curiosity from there, until eventually after, I don't know how long, long time, it started becoming an addiction to pornography, and then learning what masturbation was, and masturbating, developing an addiction to that. And so once I was done with my freshman year in high school,
yeah,
it was about a week after, I talked to my dad again. And it was my drive home from AP camp. And I had actually been wanting to tell him for probably 2 months at this point, but there was no better opportunity. And I knew God like made that opportunity on this drive home. And he was just like, do it now, because you need to. And so talked to him, started talking to the bishop, and I probably was battling with the bishop for 5 weeks before he was like, okay, I think I've mentioned the program to you before, which he had, but I think it's time to start going.
This is the same bishop that you spoke to when you were 13?
Yeah.
Okay.
But thing about that, he had been a bishop for maybe a month when I first talked to him.
Okay.
Oh, really?
So, yeah, not that he wasn't trying or didn't know, but he was inexperienced.
Yeah.
Sure, right.
So he just didn't know as much as he needed.
Right.
And then I compare that time when he talked to me then versus now, because I speak with him every single week, and I can, like, he knows, I don't want to say everything, but... Yeah.
He gets it.
Yeah.
He gets it.
He knows exactly what it's like.
And he's got resources at his fingertips.
Yeah.
Like Sons of Helaman or other programs.
Yeah.
To then help.
Right? Yeah.
That's awesome.
Dude, interesting. I love the fact that you felt comfortable enough with your dad
to talk to him about it. I don't know if it was that.
Or what do you think?
It's just more like, I just had to get rid of this. Like, and I thought that I was in the mindset of, okay, I'll talk to him once and it's never going to happen again, obviously. Mm-hmm. Which, for my 13-year-old self with a habit, it kind of did, but it came back, obviously.
Yeah.
And, yeah, so I started a program a year and a month ago. Been going ever since, and
I think a lot of young people, I remember when I first spoke to my parents, it's like, okay, there's this giant monkey that I need to get off my back, and then you get it off your back and it feels really, really good, but nobody tells you need to keep it off your back.
Yeah, it's coming right? back.
Yeah. And so you need to keep an open dialogue. And parents, if you're listening, like, you can do that too. You can talk to your parent or to your kids, and kids talk to your parents about this casually.
Yes.
You know, we need to, in fact, before Caleb stepped in, we were talking to our good friend Jim, who we had on the show last season.
Yeah, the first season.
Just about the importance of normalizing the conversation about sex. It's a big part of our mortal life.
Yep.
You know, there's Joseph Smith taught that the soul of man is composed of his body and his spirit.
Yeah.
And our sexual desires are a really important part of the proliferation of our species. And And the development of families.
Yep.
That's something that we need to make less taboo. Right?
Agreed. And I think, I don't know how we do that, but over time.
Well, the spirit knows, right?
Yeah. And I think that's one thing that I feel like Caleb did really well is just, okay, I need to talk to someone. Who should I talk to? When should I talk to him? And God will provide opportunities for that to happen.
You just got
to
take them.
Just got to take them when they come. And it's scary, right? But to Wes's point, though, I would recommend to any parent or child going through this of creating a way to make it part of your communication. Me and my mom, it was a text in the morning so that she knew I was good. And if I, like, find ways to just make it simple.
Yep.
And so that you have a way to talk about it if you need to, because you're going to need to talk about it more than once.
Right. And also, but don't make this the only thing you talk about either.
True.
Cause I feel like when we've had other people on the podcast as well that have said, you know, it actually, when I brought in my mom or my sister or whoever as my accountability partner, that's all our relationship revolved around was my recovery.
I remember that with Thane.
Yeah. With his sister. Right. And that's not healthy for your relationship. If your relationship is predicated on one person, if it's just surrounds one person's benefit, then it's one-sided relationship. It's not healthy for anybody. So, make it an important part, make it open and be something that you talk about.
Yeah.
But just make it a component of your relationship, not the whole thing.
Agreed.
That's all off the soapbox.
Agreed. Okay. So tell us about your experience in group itself. What was, you know,
yeah,
your first initial like you're going to porn group. Holy crap.
Well,
you know,
I was in the mindset, I'm sure a lot of people are, of like, I'm the terrible kid who has to go to a porn group. Like, I failed. Like, I got to the point of failure. And that was instantly swept away and gone as soon as I went to my first group. Like, I had Clayton there. Mm-hmm. I had Holden there. I had a few people that are now on a mission out there. And,
dude, like,
it was just so awesome. They were examples to me, and it just made me want to be a leader with them. Not like to replace them, but just like with them. I wanted to be one of the kids in group. People are just like, man, that kid. I like that.
Dude.
So how did your mindset shift from going to Pornaholics Anonymous, this is like the most embarrassing thing ever, to this is a cool thing.
Yeah.
I'm grateful that I get to be a part of this.
Like,
what was that change like?
Well, it wasn't that so much wasn't as instantaneous. It kind of went over more time, but it kind of came along as I talked to more people, as I realized, like, I would talk to you guys, I'm like, these kids aren't terrible kids. Like,
thanks, well, that man.
Wes, yeah, that Wes, he's not terrible.
He's not terrible.
He's not good.
Man, it could be worse.
Man, yeah, I want that on my gravestone.
Not terrible.
Here lies Wes. He wasn't terrible.
But I want. It wasn't that bad.
It wasn't that bad.
Not great enough. But Deese.
Go on, Caleb.
No, but yeah, it does. It over time.
Yeah.
I totally agree. I think that's what my experience was like. Yeah.
And then, like, the same thing, like, with the kids I've talked to, it's not the, like, how you stereotype a porn addict as this failure of major pervert, like,
like, right.
That's what I'm saying. Sorry, like, you expect it to be this gross guy.
Yes.
Like, old hobo type thing.
Hangs out in his basement, is just this wormy little freaky guy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cheeto fingers. Right? Right?
Just lurking in the darkness, yeah. Right? And that's exactly what I thought. I was like, I'm one of those gross people.
Mm-hmm. And so then I just start, like, I realized that that's not who these people are. These people are the people Satan was threatened by, and he needed to attack them with the best. Attack these best kids with the best. So he gave him everything he got.
Oh.
So they're going to give him everything he got.
That's right, baby.
Yeah, dude. If we're not taking... He chose to fight with the wrong dudes. You know what I mean? He picked the wrong dudes. And I feel bad for him. I really do. I'm like...
I don't.
Okay, I don't. But it's just like, bless his heart. He doesn't have a heart. Okay, bless his non-existent...
No, don't bless him.
Okay, no blessings.
No blessings.
But he is going to be destroyed.
He
is being destroyed.
His
by
mistake. Like,
yes.
He's like, the one, he screwed himself.
Here's the
he
thing.
He screwed himself.
The scoreboard is already set.
Yeah.
Right? The game is over. Or we know the final score.
Yes.
All that's left to be said
is which side we're on.
Whose jersey are we wearing at the end of the game?
Yes.
Right?
Exactly. And what team? Okay. And
we're
it's a choice.
Free agents, right?
It's a choice. That song that you brought up at the beginning. I need to read those lyrics now. Like, I want
it's
to.
It's a lot of choices, too.
Yeah. Oh, good point. It's not just like a one choice.
What's your quote from the Nike commercial that you like? For what is life but a series?
Okay.
Say that, yeah. You got to memorize. You don't need that.
Oh, you're talking about that first part.
That's what I'm saying.
Okay, and I've said this in a previous episode, but this gets my warrior chems going. For what is each day but a series of conflicts between the right way and the easy way? 10,000 streams fan out like a river delta before you, each one promising the path of least resistance. Thing is, you're headed upstream.
Come on.
And when you make that choice, when you decide to turn your back on what's comfortable and safe and what some would call common sense, well, that's day one. And then it goes on from there, right? Okay. Mm-hmm. And then, can I read the next part? I haven't memorized this part yet, but this gets me so fired up. Ready? With each step comes the decision to take another, right? Like you said, it's one choice at a time. One choice to leave my phone out of my bedroom. One choice to tell my parents I'm at a level two, right? It's these little day-by-day choices that will end up leading us to victory. You're on your way now, but this is no time to dwell on how far you've come. You're in a fight against an opponent you can't see, but oh, you can feel him on your heels, can't you? Feeling breathing down your neck. You know what that is? That's you. Your fears, your doubts, and insecurities all lined up like a firing squad ready to shoot you out of the sky. But don't lose heart. While they're not easily defeated, they are far from invincible. Remember, this is the grind, the battle royale between you and your mind, your body, and the devil on your shoulder who's telling you this is just a game. This is just a waste of time. Your opponents are stronger than you. Drown out the voice of uncertainty with the sound of your own heartbeat. Burn away your self-doubt with the fire lit beneath you. Mm-hmm. Not cool.
Yeah, I don't think the marketing team at Nike understands that it's Satan that we're against.
Satan, right? It's not you.
Yeah, it's not you. But
that's the one.
They were close.
Yeah. No, they were close.
We'll give them,
they eventually bring up the devil on your shoulder, yeah. But they miss that one part. It's not you. You are not the enemy here. It is Satanas, and he wants to destroy us. Okay, Caleb, this is so okay. You know, it's a good sode when it's just as like a free flowing, beautiful conversation. And that's what we have here today, gentlemen. Okay. So I want to hear, you've mentioned to us this.
Should we clear up what we talked about last week with the porn triangle first?
Oh, should we do that?
Let's do that, and then we'll go into.
Is that cool?
Yeah.
We'll clear up the porn triangle because me and Wes kind of messed it up.
We blew it.
We did. And so we brought in an expert who is Caleb, who's going to explain the porn triangle to us. Because Wes set it up perfectly.
No.
You did. The fire thing?
No. Hey, I'm not terrible. I'm not terrible, but I know.
That was perfectly.
Yeah.
That was. Wasn't it that so one. Good?
Yeah.
No.
Fire
and everything
meets what?
Else.
Say it.
Oh, what fire does.
Yeah, because you said
I know
perfectly.
Fire.
Yeah, tell me.
So the fire triangle, if you remember from last week.
Yes.
Requires three things. If you're going to have fire, you need heat, you need oxygen, and you need fuel.
Yep. Something to burn.
Yep. If you can take one or multiples of those away, fire ceases to happen.
Correct. So that's the same with pornography.
Porn fire.
Pornography is a fire that we have to put out. So what are the three?
So for pornography, it is a source of pornography, whether it's in your head or on a device, a location where you can fail, like you're not going to mess up at a bus stop,
right?
And
or like
then,
in a church building, or, yeah. You know, yeah. You're like, yeah,
yeah. And then vulnerability of your brain being at a level 5.
So your brain chemistry, okay.
Yeah. So those three, okay. So it's the device, what Satan can actually use, whether it is in your mind.
Yeah, like lots of people think, like they just have problems with masturbation. They're like, oh, well, that doesn't apply to me. Well, yeah, it does, because your porn is in your brain. It is not on a phone.
Right. Huh. Yep. So that, and then the second one being the place, right? So like your vulnerable places, where
do you... Like a bathroom.
Yeah, like the bathroom, the bedroom. Just, you can eliminate those sources.
So like if you're going to go to the bathroom and you're at a level 0... You've taken the chemistry part out of it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You're good. If it's late and you're tired, you're probably already level 1 or level 2.
Right.
But you're gonna leave your phone outside or you're not gonna watch TV or something in the family room, you're gonna win, right?
Yeah, you're
taking out access to
the source. See, that's just understanding that. It's so simple, mm-hmm. right? But I remember when Lane talked about it, I think we might have been there the same night.
We were.
Because that's totally a Lane. It's cool. Lane's so dope. But like when he talked about that, it was so simple, but it was so powerful.
Mm-hmm.
Because you eliminate one of those things.
And then the others can't succeed.
The others cannot succeed, right? Like let's say my brain chemistry is way off, right? And I'm in a bad spot, but I don't have a device. Well, in that case, potentially masturbation, right?
But you would then, like, because it would be a flash. If we remember from the satanic spin, that source that you're talking about, Caleb, that comes from your mind is actually coming from a database of memories that you've downloaded from exposure that you've received from certain devices or your personal history.
Yeah, to stimulate.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
So, interestante.
Yeah.
I didn't say that very well. Interesante.
Interesting.
Thank you.
For our English-speaking listeners.
And that's Edward. He's our translator on the show. Thank you, Edward.
Soy Edward.
Edward.
No, but yeah, I love that. Is there anything else you would add to that as far as porn triangle? Take one of those things out. No, just understand, just know your place. Like, take a moment to say, what are my three things, right? Where am I typically vulnerable? What devices am I gaining pornography from? And then where do I usually feel vulnerable? What type of thoughts change my brain chemistry, right? Mm-hmm. Be aware of your brain chemistry. So just like write that down. I'm vulnerable here with this device. And this is typically when I'm tired, when I'm frustrated, when I'm angry is when I lose. And you can just quickly write that down and then say, how do I build a strategy around those three?
So I want to hear from Caleb. How have you incorporated that into your recovery? Do you have some personal experiences where you've noticed, I've got a pretty good triangle going here. And how have you eliminated one of those contributors?
Well, it's part of my manpower to start off.
Okay,
cool.
So no phone in bathrooms or bedrooms, and I can't be home alone. Ooh. So go to the golf course or stay outside, go with a friend or somewhere like that. So that's eliminating my location to figure. Battleground. And then I've got my preliminary things to take out the triangles, but that's an always good thing that if I'm a level, when I'm working to get back to a level zero, taking out points of the triangle will always help.
Yes.
Or solve it.
Getting out of the location.
Yeah.
Getting rid of the device.
So you mentioned also that some of your earlier exposures to pornography were from social media outlets.
Oh, yeah.
Have you eliminated that in your life? Or
that's that's another one of my no goals on the end.
So there's almost like devices within devices, right?
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's true.
So could you explain to our listeners what you're missing out on by not having Snapchat and Instagram?
Well, I'd say about absolutely nothing.
Wow. But what about all the things that you could like and scroll through, though?
Yeah, and like there's really cool, there's cool quotes.
I'll just like things in real life. Like,
oh, you mean you, wow.
Yeah. Whoa. Okay, that was
cool. No, I think we should get like, we might need like a sociologist in here to be like, wow, liking things in real life.
Wow.
What does that even mean?
Yeah. What does that actually entail?
Well, so do you like take like stickers of thumbs up things that you go stick on things that you like? I'm confused.
It's vocal. Just like.
Oh, it's vocal.
Yeah.
Mm. Like. You look at a girl that you like, and you're just like, I like.
So by eliminating those sources of pornography from your life, how have you been enriched in other ways? Not just by getting rid of porn, but like how are other things in your life better? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's just taking out stupid, like easy things to take out, but they're stupid things. Like social media, that's so easy to take out and be at a level zero. And then those times, think about how much the average person and how much I used to be. When I think about that, how much I used to be on Instagram, and that's my new time to be at a level zero. It's my new passion project time. That's my new go be nice to my mom, give my mom a massage, go woodwork with my dad time.
I love that, man. Like we're not vilifying social media.
Yeah.
In fact, we have an Instagram page, right?
The podcast does.
But if you find that you find pornography through social media, it's not worth it. Not worth it.
No, not even close. Like, it's not... Oh, man. And the reason why it's not worth it, too, is because I found myself using social media as a crutch of, like... It was kind of a gateway into pornography for me, where it was like, oh, I'm not on purpose.
I'm not looking for it.
Just oh, I happening. Stumbled upon
there
it.
There it is.
Whoops. And then I go down that path, right? But I'm already looking back at those times. I totally was already to level two, level
it's
three.
It's like a weird way to justify. You know what I mean? You're like, well, it's not my fault, but
it's
also
level four right there.
You can
whose
eliminate,
is it though,
yeah,
right?
You can eliminate that.
Okay.
So I mean, if you do have social media, then you just have to set good no goals
just be
around
responsible,
it. Be responsible around
it.
Yeah.
But I also think that's like, huge. If it is still a problem for you, I'm challenging you straight up right now. What are you gaining by having it? And I would argue that you stand to gain so much freedom and liberty by eliminating that from your life. And to what Caleb has said, you will miss out on absolutely nothing.
Not only will you not miss out on anything, but like Caleb said, you will gain so much more.
Right.
It's time to go and live and like be intentional Is social media ever intentional?
Verbal liking.
I feel like social media is never intentional. It's not like, it's always a time passer. It's always a like a, I want to go into a numb state, so I'm just going to kind of, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just not scroll. Intentionally. Yeah. Maybe sometimes you could like be on Pinterest intentionally looking for certain, I don't know.
That's the rarity though.
That's the, yeah, that's the rare. That's like the exception. Yeah. So yeah, I think that's a yeah. dope challenge.
So let's shift gears then. The other thing that you really wanted to talk about is how you opened up to some friends' ears.
Mm-hmm.
Walk us through that experience.
Yeah. Well, I've got three really good best friends of mine. I started getting these promptings about when I started going to group with you guys like 10 months ago. Hmm. And I just started getting promptings like, should go probably tell Oliver. And Oliver's my very best friend. Like, I love him. And I was like, you should just go tell him. Like, nah, it's good. Like, and there's no thought in my brain that he struggled at all. And so after about 6 months, like, it took a long time for the Spirit to get to me and for me to listen and receive the Spirit. And after a long time, I just... Adam helped me realize what I needed to do. Adam, he's my personal warrior trainer.
Cool. He's the best.
Yeah, he's really cool.
We love Adam.
Yeah. He told me, I said, I'm going to tell him, but I want to kind of do good first. And like, that's just justification to delay from Satan, right? And I was like, I want to like graduate before I tell him. And he said, well, think about it. If he was struggling with this, would you want him to wait? Would you want him to, like, not tell you? Or do you want him to tell you when he's going through it, when he actually needs help? And I was like, well, obviously when he needs help. I don't want him to suffer just any more than he has to. I want to help him through that. And so he's like, well, do you think he wants you to? So that's what helped. That's what started. That thought is what started me getting to the point where I can tell friends. And so.
Told Oliver.
Yeah. So. Oliver's actually the second kid I told, but it's because the other kid confronted me about it.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So.
One of the three.
Yes.
One of the three besties.
So there's Jerem, Oliver, and Espen.
Sick.
They're way cool. They wanted the shout out, so.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yes, what brothers. Up, dudes?
And so, prom night.
Jimmy loves you. Shout out from Jimmy.
And don't forget Edward.
And Edward.
Ustedes son muy divertido.
You are very fun.
You are very fun.
That was Edward.
Yeah, that was Edward.
Thank you, Edward. Yeah.
Thanks, Edward. Thanks, Ed.
Ed. You call him Ed.
It's Edward. Go on.
Okay. So one of them confronts you and says, dude, like, I'm struggling with this? Or how did that come up?
We were in the same group for prom, and we ended up staying up till like 3 o'clock just talking. And that's one of those conversations where we're kind of beating around the bush, not quite getting to the point of saying, yeah, I struggle with pornography and masturbation, but we were just kind of beating around it like, do you ever do that? And then like seeing what they would say, but it never got to that. So then later on in that week, he said, Caleb, I need you to pray for me. And so I called him up. I was like, what do you need me to pray for you about? I want to get some more detail. And he's like, well, maybe pray for me to have a little more courage, because I need to talk to you about something. And so then a few days after that, he goes, I said, what was it you needed to I needed to pray for you about? And he goes, well, I think that group you were talking about, because I told him about this, just not what it was for, I think that group could really help me if I know what it's about. And I was like, well, that group's for pornography and masturbation. Is that what you need? And he's like, yeah. And so we started talking, and a few weeks after that, I move on to the next kid.
On to the next one. on to Cincinnati.
Oliver, I told him, I'm going to, because he knew I went to a group.
Uh-huh.
I called it group for something.
That's what we call it.
Yeah. Like,
going to group.
Yep.
Going to group.
Mm-hmm. And so I told him, I'm going to tell you why I'm going to group. And I said, I'm not 1,000,000% sure why I need to, but I do know that God wants me to tell you, and I know that God, oh no, that Satan really does not want me to tell you at all. And so we went on a hike together, and we started talking, and we have this little there's this like grove of trees, because that's where we talked about it, so we call that the less sacred grove.
Less than sacred grill. Yeah. That's dope.
So that's our code name for that. If we now we call it the LSG. So.
The LSG. LSG, dude.
So
that's yeah. awesome, bro.
And so that's just introduction to those two. And then my third kid, I've been friends with this kid. We've been in the same ward since we were born, pretty much. Mm-hmm. Known this kid forever. He's so awesome. His name is Espen.
Sick name.
Yeah. He's named after ESPN, actually. Legit.
Is it spelled ESPN?
They were going to, but his mom wouldn't let him.
Oh. So ESPIN?
E-N.
E-N. Oh, okay. Yeah. Espen.
Yeah. So
that's so dope.
Parent goals, man.
Sports Center, baby.
So good.
I named my son Sports Center. I'm going to name him.
Don't name him.
Just name him that sound.
I don't know how you spell that.
So we were at youth conference together, and I knew that he was going to a separate counseling, but he went to for golf because we are on the golf team together. He went to kind of anger management for golf because if you don't know about golf, you get pretty dang pissed.
Oh, dude. Golf is the freaking... It's such a hard game. Keep going. Yeah. Do you know?
Miniature is hard enough. Full size?
Full size. No, thank you.
Have you seen me at Topgolf?
I have. Oh, I
you
did.
Did.
I did see you at Topgolf.
If you want to master level twos, play golf.
Dude, Topgolf. Topgolf made me wonder, am I really right-handed? Really?
I'm so bad.
Sorry, we digress.
Yeah, keep going.
So I asked him about that. I was trying to just get more information about what he's going through, and I told him, like, I go to something pretty similar, but it's kind of more of a group thing, group therapy type thing. And he's like, really? And I started telling him, like, what we do, how we battle against Satan, how we have this brothership that I can't find anywhere else. And he's like, well, I really want to go. And I was like, well, oh, crap.
You're like, well,
you got to like porn first.
I was like, well, there's a specific problem that is needed because that's what we focus on. That's why we all go there because we have this correlating problem. And then he's like, well, what is it? And then the way I said it, and this is how I said it to Oliver too, I was like, if you had to take the best guess, and I'm giving you a guess, so I'm not going to be offended with anything, what would you think it would be? And they're just like,
pornography.
Yeah, they're like, porn? I'm like, yep, there you go. And then from there, it's so easy. And right after that, I was like, have you ever struggled? And he's like, you're not alone, Caleb. And so with all three kids, I just want to say, it is so hard to start a conversation about that. Like, finding an opportunity and making an opportunity, getting the point where you can even have the courage to say those first few words. But as soon as it's out, it just snowballs. It goes a million miles per hour, and you want to talk for hours and hours.
Do any of those...
So cool.
Do any of those friends of yours, are they on the wrestling team?
No, they're not.
Oh, okay. Dang, I was going to be like...
But I did meet a different kid.
Yeah?
I was... We were at a wrestling camp in Wyoming.
Uh-huh.
He's a graduate.
Is he?
Yeah. He's actually one that got Markham. He helped Markham get his group started in Brigham.
No way. What?
Yeah.
Cool.
His name is Caden. So.
Sick.
Yeah. I had my Manpower Journal out in my wrestling camp.
Yeah.
And he goes, hey, Caleb, not to get too personal, but what week are you on? And I was like... Whoa, dude, you know? We started freaking out.
Oh, I love that.
So then we were roommates, so we talked till like 2 a.m. just talking about everything and how we've won.
Yeah.
And it's so awesome.
I love that.
what has it done to... I would be curious to hear what it's done to your friendship. I mean, obviously, you're already super close and super homies. But what has it done
super for... Super homies. I love that.
But what has it done after you were able to talk about it? I mean, you kind of alluded to it, but like, what's that been like?
Well, with two of my best friends, I've known them since preschool or before. And like, I was talking to them before the podcast, making sure I knew everything, get a good refresher in my brain. And they said, one of the kids, Espen, said, I want to make a point to say, well, just when you think you know everything about the other kid, a lot of people say you live two different worlds and you have a porn addiction. And we learned about the whole other world with each other, and we know what it's like. Like, in group, we're able to be such good friends and such amazing people with each other because we already have this such a big common goal and difference and all this stuff in our lives. But with them, I had that as well as this friendship I already had flourishing with them.
Which then it just makes you, it brings you closer.
Oh yeah.
Like my experience with my mom and with my sister who I've told, and obviously with Wes, like it bonds you for life.
Oh yeah.
Forever. It is such a rewarding, fulfilling experience. And I would wonder if anyone's ever had a like terrible experience with it where it like ruined a friendship. I mean, potentially.
Well,
but
so Jerem, he got a distinct prompting that he needed to talk to another kid that we're really good friends with.
Yeah.
And so he did that, and this kid was like shocked. He'd never been, he knew nothing. Like, he's a little bit younger than us.
Yeah.
But he was like, oh my gosh, you guys are, you what? He freaked out. And so it took us time to kind of get him comfortable. We're like,
rebuild
the spirit
that.
Told us, we're not sure why, but we needed to talk to you. Whether it was preventing what could happen.
Yeah.
Or it was helping strengthen for when he had a kid or when he was an adult or be on his mission, wherever it was, whatever it was, we know we needed to talk to him. The spirit helped us.
Dude, your experience reminds me of one of my favorite poems.
Tell us.
I'm going to read it here. And while I read this, think of if you and your friends had never told each other. Okay. It was six men of Indostan, to learning much inclined, who went to see the elephant, though all of them were blind, that each by observation might satisfy his mind. The first approached the elephant, and happening to fall against his broad and sturdy side, at once began to bawl, "God bless me, but the elephant is nothing but a wall." The second, feeling of the tusk, cried, "Ho, what have we here? So very round and smooth and sharp. To me 'tis mighty clear, this wonder of an elephant is very like a spear." The third approached the animal, and happening to take the squirming trunk within his hands, "I see," quoth he, "the elephant is very like a snake." The fourth reached out his eager hand and felt about the knee. What most this wondrous beast is like is mighty plain," quoth he. "'Tis clear enough the elephant is very like a tree." The fifth, who chanced to touch the ear, said, "Even the blindest man can tell that what this resembles most. Deny the fact who can. This marvel of an elephant is very like a fan." The sixth no sooner had begun about the beast to grope than seizing on the swinging tail that fell within his scope, "I see," quoth he, "the elephant is very like a rope." And so these men of Indostan disputed loud and long, each in his own opinion exceeding stiff and strong, though each was partly in the right and all were in the wrong. So oft in theologic wars the disputants, I ween, tread on in utter ignorance of what each other mean, and prate about the elephant not one of them has seen. And think of 4 years hence, or 10 years hence, if you and your friends had never come to each other, and you find out that you could have. And the roads diverting about your life, the river delta of 10,000 choices that you could have made, and you were alone in those decisions. God bless you, Caleb, for pulling off the blindfold and letting him see the elephant for what it is.
Mm-hmm. Only Wes, dude. Only Wes can throw down like that. This is true or false that this would happen in group.
Not terrible. Okay. That's all I want to be. I'm not terrible.
This is what would happen in group. We'd be like talking about something, and Wes would be like, "Let me pronounce a poem upon thee." And then it like come out so beautifully and tie in perfectly with
and
that.
And then everyone's just like, whoa.
Yeah, like
oh my gosh.
It's amazing. It's a gift that Wes has.
Spence has his hand up like he's Hamlet holding his skull.
Well,
I'm talking to you and poem at this moment.
Shakespeare.
You're so dope. That's so cool.
The fact that you took the opportunity that God provided you with, that you prayed for it, and God provided, and you took it. Okay? There's so many times when we are like, "God, give me a miracle, or show me the way." And the way is clear before you, but he will not push you. He will not walk you through the valley of death. That's all you.
And you've got, like you said, you have Satan also saying, "Don't do it, don't do it, don't do it. It's not worth it," right? Yeah. What if he doesn't have the same problem? What if he, you know, what if he thinks of you differently? Yeah, what if he thinks of you differently?
Yeah.
But the second we can help each other, see, I just come back to me and Span at the sitting in my crappy old 93 Forerunner in the Merrill Kazir Library at Utah State. Spence, I got a problem with porn, man. Hey, man, me too.
Me too. Dude, I'm telling you, like, and you, both of you are to be commended for that courage, right? Like, we've got some pretty special people here on the podcast today, including
you two, Spence. And you guys listening too.
Yes. Just the fact that you're listening to a podcast about pornography and masturbation recovery, like, that just speaks to who you are as a human being. Like,
yeah. Well, and if you're listening to it and, like, you, like, change or you shut it off, like, whoa, what was that? I don't know what those guys were talking about. That's a step.
That's a step.
It's not closing it because you're watching Mr. P.
Exactly. Better to close up a podcast about Mr. P than...
Yeah.
But yeah, dude, that's... I love the fact that you went to people that you love and that you trust because of promptings that now build this brotherhood that will be for forever.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's so cool.
How much harder is it for you to lose knowing that
I'll have
that
to tell
Oliver, Jeff, and is it Jeff or Jerry?
Jerem.
Jerem and Espen.
What up, Jeff? Shouts out to you specifically.
Yeah, I'm calling him Jeff from now on.
Oh, Jeff's our editor. Oh, Jeff, why don't you take a few words? Sorry, Jeff has... Hey. There he is.
Hey, yo, yeah, what's up? What up, guys?
Yeah, Jeff's Mr. Cool.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can tell.
But how much harder is it for you to lose knowing that they're counting on you?
It's a whole nother reason to fight.
Yeah.
Like, I've got one of my reasons to fight that I fight for my brothers, not just physical, but spiritual, and those brothers that I've talked to. Those brothers that I love and want to. Because me thinking of them, like, it hurts me so much when I hear something. And because I kind of had to, like, I was helping them understand Satan and stuff, and they'd say something like, that's Satan, don't let him bully you like that, don't let him be a complete anus to you like that.
Because like, he is.
Yeah, I know. And so, I just don't, I never want, it's happened, but I never want to have to say, guys, I let Satan get to me, I lost this battle, I let Satan win one.
It just gives so much fuel to that positive fight fire. You know what I mean? Because in the same way that... is there like a living intentionally triangle of like, if we have these three things...
I like where you're going.
I don't know. We could fiddle with that because I feel like you add certain things in and you spark something... so wonderful and powerful.
Ooh, let's work on that. And you guys, tell us what your eternal life triangle looks like. What are your three ingredients? Podcast at lifechangingservices.org.
Ooh.
Whoa. We want to hear what you got to say.
I want to hear that. Okay, Caleb, hit us with it, dude. Why do you fight? Why won't you give up?
Well, guys, I fight for a lot of reasons. Ooh. But for today, I fight to be worthy of the temple. I fight to be worthy of the priesthood. Fight to be worthy of the temple so I can go with those friends that I've gained, and I can fight to go with them, not just and for them. I fight for the truth of my patriarchal blessing, and I always fight because God has straight up told me what I can be and how I can be it, and I'm not going to just throw that to waste. I fight because God needs me to win. He needs me to be a leader. He needs me to serve, be an example, and to serve. I am determined, I am deliberate, and nothing can stop me. God's given me those talents, and I'm not going to throw those to waste at all. Winning is amazing, and losing is terrible. I fight for manpower, because manpower fights for me. I fight for all of my parents, both physical parents down here on this earth, and my spiritual heavenly parents. I don't give up, because I am no quitter. I'm never going to quit, and I know that I'm not that quitter. I don't give up because God's never given up on me, and because Satan has never given up on me either. I'm always going to promote God, and I will never let Satan win. I don't give up because it's never worth it to give up. And I don't give up because everyone around me wouldn't let me, and I don't want to give up for them. I always want to be the person that they know is not a quitter. And that's why I fight, and that's why I don't give up.
You're such a B.A. Edward, what does that mean in Spanish?
Umbea. It's a persona bien tienen mucha strength.
No, but really quick, just to close things up, you're dope. One of my favorite moments in group ever. I don't know if you remember this day, Wes, but Caleb, you had had, I don't know if you'd had a lost battle or what had happened, but you had a lot going on. And I had never just seen this like fire in someone before, that like winning was everything to you.
Yeah. I remember that day.
Do you remember that?
That's the day I started just bawling, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like this.
I was crying.
Oh, dude. And this
we don't
fire.
Cry in group, Caleb.
No.
Just people are sweaty think eyes.
We're babies or something. That's right. Where I sweat. Yeah.
But it just like that fire, dude. I just remember knowing then and still obviously now having you on the podcast, you are a man of God. You are. You are an amazing human being. And to have you here, we are very, very fortunate. So thank you for coming
thanks,
on.
Thanks, guys.
Love you, man. Whew. Love you guys, too.
Great sode. Any other thoughts, Weston?
I'm tapped.
Edward or
Edward is his.
Jimmy.
I think he had to step out.
Did he?
Jimmy fell asleep.
And what about what was the other guy's name? That I
Jeff.
Was Jeff.
Oh yeah, Jeff.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm still here. I don't know. It changes.
No. That's how Jeff sounds.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. Okay.
No, he's tough.
Yeah. Hey, yeah. Have a good week and go fight. Win. This is Jeff signing out. Yeah.
We love you guys.
Come back next week.